for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Matthew 12:15-21. The Pharisees were really angry at Jesus. He was upsetting them. They thought he was breaking the Sabbath rules, breaking their religious sort of regulations, and they were plotting now to kill Jesus. Verse 15. Aware of this, that's the plot to kill him, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. One of the great joys of childhood, well, my childhood anyway, must surely be wandering through fields. Put up your hand if that was one of the great joys or is one of the great joys of your childhood. Wandering through fields. Going nowhere in particular, just walking, playing, imagining. Unfortunately, too many kids are not allowed to do that anymore. But it's a joy that I never actually grew out of. To this day, I love wandering about fields, hillsides, just basically being outside. I love looking at trees. I love looking in the hedgerows. I love walking in the bog. I just love being out and about. I love looking at heather. I love looking at the mosses. Who loves finding wild primroses in the spring? It's amazing. Who loves finding that wee wild raspberry and eating it? Or a blaberry, or do you call them a blueberry? We were up Slieve Binion, and I says to Paul, here's some wild blaberries, come on, we'll eat some. And he said, Mum, those are deadly nightshade. So if you eat that, you'll just drop dead. And I says, tell Dad that I loved him. He says, what about us? Oh yeah, I love yous too. I says, I'll eat a handful, and if I don't drop down dead, then you can enjoy the feast. So none of us drop dead. Plenty of purple in her hands. I love seeing fungi in the autumn time. Just love it. Because I was brought up in County Antrim, the country or the county of the bog, I remember from my earliest days, and we weren't very, very big, we were allowed to sort of just sort of run wild, really, running up the old Tullygarley Road. And there were fields there, and there was loads, clumps of reeds in them. From I was really small, I knew if a field had loads of clumps of reeds in it, that's a marshy field, that's a boggy field. And if you get into that field, you're more than likely going to be up to your knees in water. But yet, see, when I used to see those reeds swaying in the breeze, I just felt drawn to go over and look at those clumps of reeds for some reason. So I used to go over, used to try to pull one out. They're quite hard actually to pull out. Used to pull them out, look at them, dark green. And then I used to get them and run my nail up through it. Did anybody else do this? Run your nail up through and split the reed open. Who else did that? See a few nods. And it's quite surprising. A dark green reed, you run your nail up, you split it open, and inside there's this soft, fluffy foam stuff. What a contrast to the dark green and then this foam white centre. You just see them there. I was always intrigued by that. Sometimes I used to, between finger and thumb, squash a reed. Ever squash a reed? Bruise a reed. What is it? You just wanted to bruise those reeds, that foamy stuff. It didn't leak out. It didn't squirt out. The reed that was swaying in the breeze, if you squashed it between your finger and your thumb, just bent over, bruised, maybe broken, crushed. That image from my childhood of a bruised reed, bent over and crushed, it came into my mind this week as I was thinking of these words of Isaiah the prophet, quoted by Matthew. And he's talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 20, a bruised reed Jesus will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. This past week, many of you and myself, we've spoken to many different people who have just been like a bruised reed. We've spoken to people who've been abused as children. We've spoken to people who've been abandoned in marriage. We've spoken to people who have been crushed by bereavement and loss. We've been spoken to people who've been bruised by the cruel and hurtful actions of other people. Some of these bruised reeds present a very together image on the outside, trying to cover up how bruised they are, but there's a sadness there. Some try to compensate for their hurt by giving an outward appearance of hardness, even aggression. And others are just so obviously crushed and bruised, trying to deal with their pain in different ways. For many of these people, there's a question looming large in their minds. Where is God in all of this? Does God even care about what has happened to me? Is God interested in the pain that I'm going through? And sadly for many, they have decided that God doesn't care. They think he doesn't see, or if he does see, he's not interested in them. They think if he exists, then he has abandoned them. But Matthew says, no, that isn't true. God has sent his servant. God has sent his son, the one whom God loves and delights in, and God has put his spirit in him. Isaiah says he won't quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets, but he has a ministry of gentleness. He will not break the bruised reed or snuff out the smouldering wick. Other people would just trample down bruised reeds, a reed that's already crushed. So many people are crushed and they feel that they're just bent over and lying down. And they feel that this world just tramples on them. People just run on over the top of them. They might regard themselves as useless and of no value, but not Jesus. Never Jesus. Jesus sees the value in everybody. Even that person who maybe in your mind you see as the most bruised reed you could imagine, the one who is so crushed, the one who is so broken, Jesus sees their value. He doesn't make a big song and a dance about it, but he quietly comes. He quietly comes and he brings healing to the broken. He comes alongside those who are crushed and bruised, and he speaks his word of hope and healing and salvation and restoration. We sang the song tonight, one of my favorite lines, in his kingdom, broken lives are made new. That is the kingdom of God. Many people want to announce the kingdom of God with trumpets. They want to make a big noise about it. But you know, in many ways, the kingdom comes quietly. Ministry of gentleness, just getting alongside somebody with the heart and the compassion of Jesus and speaking words of hope and healing. That's what Jesus does. He notices. He notices what others miss or what others choose to ignore. He sees right inside the deepest recesses of our hearts. He sees bruising that we maybe try to cover up. This morning, in the meeting this morning, Graham was speaking about the arrival of the day. It was the day of Pentecost. A special day, a day of expectation. And when Graham was speaking about this morning, I had a really strong impression in my heart. I believe it's like a prophetic sense this morning of somebody who was looking forward to a particular day. It was to be a day of great joy. You were excited about the coming of this day. It was supposed to be a day of joy. But when the day came, it quickly turned into a day of sorrow, a day of tears, and a day of pain. In the days that followed that, you tried to cover up your sorrow. You tried to move on, but you had been bruised. Bruised by sorrow and grief. And you pulled the shutters of your heart down to try and protect yourself, to try and recover. But over the years, those shutters have stayed down. From time to time, little shafts of God's sunlight and love, little shafts have gone through the cracks in the shutters. But God is speaking to you today. And God is saying, open up the shutters. Open them up. Today is the day of healing for you. Whatever it is and whatever it was, and I have no idea what that is, but God is saying to you, open up those shutters. Don't be content just with little shafts of God's light. Throw open the shutters. God wants to bring healing and restoration and joy right back into your life. If that word's for you this evening, respond to it. Respond not to it, but to Him. He notices. He sees right into the deepest recesses of your heart, things that you've kept hidden, maybe from every other human being, God sees. An absolutely beautiful verse is found in Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Let that sink in. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many people mistakenly believe that God is disinterested in their suffering or is absent altogether. But Matthew shows us here by using that ancient prophecy from Isaiah that God is neither disinterested nor absent. He is the one who is so concerned about us that He came to us in the person of His Son. Now, some people think, oh, you know, in the Godhead, God's the angry one, God the Father, angry, vengeful, and Jesus is like the nice face of the Godhead. But that's not the picture the Bible presents. Jesus is the beloved Son of the Father. The Father delights in Him. From all eternity, Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit were there in perfect fellowship and communion, delighting. The Father was delighting in Jesus. Jesus only does what He sees the Father doing. Jesus said it. So when Jesus comes alongside the bruised and the crushed, that's not the nice face of the angry Father. That's the very heart of the Father. He only does what He sees the Father doing. A couple of verses from the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, you will know them well. This is Jesus. This is the Jesus who comes alongside. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. See these words? Pierced, bruised, crushed. It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Jesus is a suffering servant. He comes alongside us in our brokenness, when our crushed spirit, and he says, I was crushed for you. I was crushed for you. I was pierced for you. I was broken for you. I took your suffering upon me that I could give you healing, that I could restore you, that I could save you, that I could deliver you. So Jesus comes into this world and he introduces the kingdom. It's not loud. It's not brash. He doesn't lead a violent revolution, but quietly, gently, individual lives, one by one, healed, forgiven, restored, set free, made new. Jesus is and always has been the eternal Son of God. He is the Creator. He is the King. He has all authority. And his kingdom is not of this world. That's why he didn't come with violence. That's why he didn't come loudly and brashly. That's how the kingdoms of the world are built. He said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. There will be a time when he will lead justice to victory. There will be a time when all eyes will see him, when they will know that he is Lord of all the earth. But until that time, he is touching one life, another life, another life, another life, and he's doing it through us. This evening, are you a bruised reed? Has something happened in your life that has crushed you? Jesus is here for you. He wants to gently heal you, restore you. And he says, a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. There are times in our lives, all of us, when our faith and our love for Jesus is no longer shining brightly in our hearts. If we're honest, there are times when we are a smouldering wick. The flame of faith is sometimes reduced to just a tiny little spark. Now, some people can keep up a really good outward appearance. That's a fact. Some people can continue to look passionate and enthusiastic. How do I know that? Because I've been that person. That's how I know that. I have been the person who has looked outwardly passionate, enthusiastic, but in my heart, I have known at times that my flame has been a smouldering wick. Maybe something happens along the road and it dampens our flame. Maybe a disappointment. Maybe a failure, our own, or maybe somebody's that we looked up to. Maybe the strong winds of trial blew over our lives, and during that trial, the strong flame that was there was blown, and now there's just a wick of doubt, confusion, and fear. Or maybe, and this is for many people, maybe it was nothing specific, but just over time, gradually, imperceptibly, the busyness of life, pressures of work and family, how easy it is to neglect spiritual priorities. We leave the wick untrimmed for too long. It wasn't intentional, but before we know it, where we once burned brightly, we're a smouldering wick. Does that sum you up tonight? Three choices. You can drift on being a smouldering wick. You can try to keep up the appearance of shining brightly, but inside you're dying. You know, it leads to guilt. And it leads to that feeling where church and the things of God are a chore and a duty instead of a delight. Or you can drop out of fellowship altogether because you feel unworthy. You feel cold in heart and you find it easier to make excuses than to be with God's people. Or you can admit and say, I'm a smouldering wick just now. That's where I'm at. But you know something? Jesus will never, ever snuff out a smouldering wick. Unlike people, Jesus doesn't send us on a guilt trip. He knows exactly where you are. And if you come to him in honesty and repentance, do you know what he'll do? He will just come alongside and gently, 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 he will just fan that little smouldering wick into a flame that shines brightly for his glory once again. That is the ministry of Jesus. Have you forgotten how gentle Jesus is? Have you forgotten? Sometimes we're hard on ourselves, and sometimes we're very hard on other people. We can be quick to judge ourselves, and we're generally even quicker to judge other people. You know, there's going to be a day when Jesus will come in judgment. But you see, in this day, he's coming in gentleness. He's coming for the bruised reed. He's coming to support it and heal it and restore it. He's coming for the smouldering wick to gently, gently fan the flame that will burn brightly for God once again. Let him do his work in your heart this evening.
And your love is great.
This week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.